This episode of The Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on the 26th of December 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Back in 2012, you might remember that we welcomed Bahamas into the Monocle Studios, who played such a magnificent set to an adoring crowd that we decided to have him back 2 years later. Bahamas is Afy is the name of the Canadian's 2014 record, and just in case you were wondering, Bahamas is Afy, Afy Yervanen in fact. It's a tender work that swings from folky guitar ballads to richer, soulful numbers. Back in autumn 2014, Bahamas came to the Monocle Studios for that second session, and today we're going to revisit it, along with his conversation with Robert Bound. First up, here's Bahamas with All the Time.
I got all the time in the world. Don't you want some of that? I got all the time in the world. Don't you want some of that? Don't you want some of that? But I would if I were you. I had all the time in the world. You wanted none of that. I had all the time in the world. You wanted none of that. But I would if I were you. Something wrong with that.
Yes, there is.
I put my work in front of my girl. There's something wrong with that. Something really, really wrong with that. I know this to be true.
Well, the album is called Bahamas is Afy, and fortunately enough, Afy Yervanen joins us again, actually. We should say thank you and welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
The latest record is a thing of great beauty and, I suppose, kind of disarming simplicity. I've always wanted to ask you this, whether it's as easy to write the songs as it is to listen to them. Maybe I know the answer to that. But...
Oh, I wish. I mean, if it were that easy, I'd be putting out albums every six months or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? That would be a different...
I think for this one in particular, songwriting is always, it's the thing that I love doing the most. If someone asked me, what do you do? I would say, I'm a songwriter. You know, that's sort of how I think of myself and what I spend most of my time doing, you know, as an artist. But thankfully, I really enjoy the process.
Yeah.
So the hours spent putting into it, yeah, it's all part of it in the end, you know. But yeah, for this album, I did spend a lot of time sort of crafting the songs and sort of making sure that all the elements were fitting together, you know, because the idea was to just sort of have something that was more to the point, but at the same time, you know, a more expansive sound, you know, a bigger sound.
And you produce this record yourself. Mm-hmm. And when artists produce records themselves, we sometimes have the feeling that they're going to be a stripped down thing. And this is your third record, and it does, mm-hmm. it has got a few bolt-ons to it. It's still mm-hmm. got that kind of trademark
sure.
Bahamas lilt to it.
Sure.
But how did you do things differently? Do you feel a little bit of pressure, or does it free you up to be your own producer?
I think any pressure that I have is self-induced. You know, I don't have a sort of big time record deal where there's a lot of corporate investment or anything, like, you know, them thinking like, we got to have a hit song. I'm very lucky that I literally get to do whatever I want. So that's fun. As far as recording goes, I did everything differently this time. Worked with different engineers, different studio, different musicians. I worked with a few different ones. So yeah, I think that I kind of like being a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit out of your element. I think that's a good thing, not just for music. I think for anything. When you're around strangers, you behave differently than you would if you're around your friends and family, you know?
So you have a little bit more pressure to perform, or you need to kind of prove, you need
yeah,
to prove yourself a little.
Or you're just kind of on your best behavior, you know, you're more focused, you're more engaged. Sometimes when you work with people that you know really well, I think you start to take them for granted, you know? And that's not to say that I had negative experiences with my other recordings. In fact, I've worked with those people since then and will continue to do that, you know? But I did want to try something different. And sometimes rather than sort of like asking someone else to do something that doesn't come natural to them, it's easier to just sort of ask the person who's already doing the thing.
Maybe the answer's a little bit nearer to home, right?
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. When you get through whatever it is you've been up to, I'll still be he that drew you in. And if they should ever say all you love did was get in my way, I'll defend you, I'll pretend it's not that way. Though the memory of us is sweeter than we really were, wouldn't trade all those bitter memories for her.
This is again an album released on Brushfire Records. Mm-hmm. We've gone out to LA and hung out with those guys.
That's great.
Did you record the record in their studio there?
I did it in Toronto at a friend of mine, Don Kerr's place. He has a little studio in the basement. And
how important is that, I wonder? Because when we went out and did that story, you know, people said, "Well, yes, it was great. You know, it's nice mm-hmm. to have. If you don't have your own studio, if you need some studio time, then mm-hmm. this is the kind of place you can do it." Do you kind of want to spend as little time in the studio as possible? Do you just want to go and record something you've already nailed, or do things change quite a lot once you get into the studio?
It can be a bit of both. You know, I think in the past for my other recordings, I've very much relied on that approach where you just sort of go in with no real ambitions.
Yeah.
You know, if you have no expectations, I think that's a good place to start, right?
That's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, generally, you know, for me, I just sort of assemble musicians whose musical instincts I trust, like Christine, who's playing with me today.
The beautiful bass.
You just sort of start, playing, and I find most people they'll instinctively just do what's needed of the song, you know?
I guess it's a thing to not overcomplicate those records as well, mm-hmm. to keep the simplicity, to keep the melody mm-hmm. going through the song is something that people maybe can start off with a wonderful melody and they put too much on it. I mean, I guess you're always trying to strip layers off it, or is it, does it kind of arrive in that, in the way that it ends up on the record?
I think for this album, I wanted to find a way to keep those ideas at the forefront, but also just have something with a lot more depth to it, you know? A lot of those ideas, after I'd finished writing the songs, they were a lot more complete in my mind, you know, the rhythmic ideas and arrangements and things like that. So I ended up playing a lot of the instruments on this album and just sort of layering up all the parts, you know. And sometimes there might be 6 or 7 guitar parts doing the exact same thing. And so obviously when you do that, you know, it's very, very clear. If you imagine if you're at a football match and everyone's chanting the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
If one person was chanting it, you may not hear it, but when there's, you know, 50,000 people all sort of screaming the same thing in unison, that can be very powerful. So I know that's kind of a naive description of it, but that was sort of the idea behind a lot of the recording.
And I held the breath inside my lungs for days. And I saw myself as one of many ways. And when I knew that I'd become the ocean slave, well, I just stayed. And we carried forward all the waters past. Of the waves, I was not first, I was not last. And if we saw a boat afloat, we took the mast so fast. There's a part of it that I'll miss. So at the heart of it, your cold kiss from the start of it. I know this always a part of it. And before too long, the waves grew out of hand as they worked to keep the sea at their command. And the only thing they feared, it seemed the sand, a dry land. There's a part of it that I'll miss. So at the heart of it, your cold kiss from the start of it. I know this always a part of it.
You've been listening to an archive edition of the Sessions at Midori House. This week's performance by Bahamas was first broadcast on the 14th of November 2014. Join us again next week when we'll continue to navigate our way through the session vaults with an almighty performance from piano maestro Chilly Gonzalez that we recorded in 2012. For the time being, though, thanks for tuning in.
From the water there was born a bright blue roar, as it rolled and foamed and combed the ocean's floor. And when it finally rose and broke upon the shore, no more. There's a part of it that I miss, so at the heart of it, your cold kiss from the start of it. I know this always a part of it.